Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here again. Well, in the next 20 minutes or so, I'd like to provide you with an overview of the framework in place at QA to safeguard and enhance the international student experience. Now, as most of you know, QA is the Quality Assurance Agency for Higher Education in the UK with a mission to safeguard standards and improve the quality of UK higher education. Now, we safeguard the public interest in sound standards by providing an external quality assurance service based on the principle of evidence-based peer review. And we inform and encourage continuous improvement in the management of the quality of UK higher education by providing a variety of development and enhancement initiatives, including producing information and guidance documents, but most of all, by developing and maintaining on behalf of the sector what is known as the UK Quality Code. Now, the UK Quality Code is the definitive reference point for all UK higher education providers. It sets out what is expected from all higher education providers in the UK and provides guidance on good practice. Also, it represents the key set of reference points which review teams refer to when they check how institutions fulfill their primary responsibilities for quality and standards. Now, here I should say that when I refer to UK higher education providers, I'm referring to those providers falling under our remit. And to remind you, this is how the UK awarding bodies, those that be referred to as recognised bodies, those institutions which receive public funding from the four national higher education funding councils, for example, for the education colleges, partnering with the UK awarding bodies to deliver their programmes, private providers who voluntarily subscribe to QA, and since last year, private providers applying for educational oversight. Now, so the UK Quality Code is the cornerstone of the quality assurance system overseen by QA, and as such, it represents the broadest framework within which we operate to safeguard and enhance the experience of international students. So within the UK Quality Code, international students the experience of international students is safeguarded as part of a primary mission to ensure that all students, Student for UK Awards, receive the best possible educational experience. So within the recognition that international students should be regarded as an integral part of the whole student body, there's no dedicated section within the UK Quality Code for international students. But international students' issues are referred where appropriate within the context of each chapters, recognising also that, of course, international students may have specific needs that need highlighting. And this precisely, as I said, this recognition of the specific needs that international students may have that led us to develop a dedicated guidance for UK education providers to help them managing the expectations and the experience of international students. The international students studying the UK guidance, which sits outside the UK Quality Code, and it was published last January, and I was here at last year next year conference on international student experience to introduce it, and it was developed as it is standard practice with QA by an advisory group composed of representatives drawn from the sector. And I should say that the starting point of the advisory group was to recognize the wealth of good practice already in place within institutions to support international students. But still, we felt the need to develop a UK-wide set of shared principles which would, yes, consolidate existing practice, but also assist our education providers in developing an inclusive environment in which they would be able to meet increasingly the challenges associated with an increasingly internationalized student body. The advisory group recognized the popularity of UK higher education for quality, the popularity of UK higher education, and also that this popularity is to a larger extent due to the quality of UK higher education. as, for example, illustrated by large scale, by the high satisfaction rates amongst international students, shown by large scale student satisfaction surveys, such as the International Student Barometer and the National Student Survey. They show that more approximately 8 out of 10 international students are generally satisfied with their experience in the UK. Still, we thought that the UK sector and higher education providers, and I believe most of you would agree with that, cannot be complacent about the reputation of UKHE for quality teaching and learning, because still 20% of students are not completely satisfied with, in absolute numbers, means a considerable amount of international students potentially discouraging other students to come in the UK, but also because, of course, as you know, the competition for international students is growing internationally, and international students are increasingly discerning about their country of choice and their institutions, looking not only at academic provision on offer, but at the whole student experience. So it is not possible to underestimate the importance to maintain and improving the services provided to international students. Now, as I was saying, the guidance sits aside the quality code, but still it represents an additional reference point for review teams in formulating their comments about institutions' arrangements to support international students, as well as an additional reference point for higher education providers in reviewing their own practice. It also serves the function to send a strong signal overseas that the UK sector, UKHE sector, and UK higher education providers take the international student experience seriously. Now, I should say that by deciding to develop a guidance dedicated to international students, a guidance that recognises that international students may have specific needs, doesn't mean that we conceive of international students as a whole, as a homogeneous group set aside from UK students. To the contrary, the guidance acknowledge the variety amongst international students, that international students have different needs, expectations, and also different degree of familiarity with the UK culture and the UK education. And also acknowledge that international students share much part of their journey with national students. So many of the needs are shared between the two groups. And indeed, many of the principles contained in the guidance could be considered applying to all students. Although, of course, we still believe that some principles are, if not exclusively, at least specifically applicable to international students and worth highlighting in this context. Now, I should also note that the operational definition that we use in the guidance is that of a non-UK student studying in the UK. And this because we wanted to cover both EU and non-EU students, although, of course, we are aware that different fees regimes, different visa regulations have a profound impact on their experience. And although, of course, we also acknowledge that the definition of non-UK is controversial in itself, as it is, it may be controversial to exclude international students studying for UK awards overseas. But we took this choice because of simplicity reason, because of what other speakers have said this morning when it comes to defining international students overseas, things get even murkier than when we try to define an international student in the UK, because a Chinese student studying for a UK award in China will face a completely different set of challenges and needs as against a Chinese student studying for a UK award in the UK, who in turn will face similar challenges, for example, for a UK student going to China to study a UK degree. So we decided to exclude non-UK students, but this not because we don't recognise the significance of transnational education. Indeed, we are aware that there are more transnational education students now than international students in the UK, and we are committed to safeguard their experience. We are committed to quality assure transnational education, and we do that through our review of transnational education. This is the third tool within our toolbox for quality assuring and for safeguarding the experience of international students. Now, our review of transnational education is based on a country by country approach. So each year we select a country we know to have a significant amount of UKTNE provision, a measure in terms of student numbers, but also in terms of UK universities operating in that country. And we review a sample of links there. So recently we reviewed some of the main receiving countries of UKTNE provision: India 2009, Malaysia 2010, Singapore 2011, and we just finished to review mainland China. Now, the review of TNE is typically a four-stage process. So we start with a comprehensive survey of UKTNE provision in the selected country. Then we conduct data-based studies of institutional procedures and policies in place at a number of institutions operating in that particular country. Institutional procedures and policies for establishing and monitoring collaborative partnership overseas. And then we select a smaller sample of links to go and review there in the selected country, and review visit which will focus on the quality of the student experience. As per every review process, we always meet students, so we also meet with TNE students. And finally, we produce an output in the form of an overview report of UK provision in the country, individual quality assurance reports, focusing on particular links, and a number of case studies focusing more narrowly on a particular theme. As I said, we just finished to review UKTNE in China. We sent out two review teams in December to review 13 links in 10 days. Now, the review of TNE is very important and is also very challenging. It is very important because the risk that the reputational damage to one institution would brush off onto other institutions is greater overseas than in the UK. So but by adopting a country-by-country approach combined with overseas visit as well as liaising with the main national bodies there, we aim to raise the profile and visibility of our review of TNE and send a strong message that UK through QA takes TNE seriously. And we are committed to ensure that awarding bodies maintain the responsibilities for quality standards, for the quality and standards of their awards, wherever these are delivered and whoever delivered them on their behalf. And I was saying the review of TNE is very challenging because of the shared spread of UK TNE provision across 200 countries, and because for its nature it's a very expensive activity. So we can only review a small sample of UK TNE provision worldwide. However, by combining a country-by-country approach with comprehensive surveys and desk-based studies, we try to ensure breadth of coverage in a cost-effective way. Finally, before to conclude, I should mention the fourth tool in our gearbox for quality for safeguarding the experience of international students, which is the Concern Scheme. So as part of our mission to safeguard standards and the quality of the learning opportunities provided to students, we investigate concerns raised by students as well as other parties, including staff or professional bodies, for example, about systemic structural flaws in the way a provider manages standards and quality. And the Concern Scheme is very important because it allows QA to investigate serious problems potentially raising in an institution outside of the normal review process. It is also interesting to observe how 23% of cases raised through the Concern Scheme are raised by international students, as against 31% by home students. And finally, before sitting down, I should say that we have also an international inquiry inbox and phone line, as well as general inquiry inbox and phone line, and a type of request of assistance, if not complaints, we are increasingly receiving point to an area of urgent work for the UK education sector in order to safeguard the reputation. It has internationally, and something that Dan mentioned before, and this area is that of developing some sort of insurance scheme, insurance fund or tuition protection scheme along the lines of those schemes that have been developed by other countries which are active in, very active internationally, such as Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, some American states. I'm aware this is something London Hire, which represent institutions in London together with HEFCA in the UK, are looking at. And QA is also looking into this together with other organizations, including NUS, and in particular with a view to safeguard the experience of those students who may be impacted, increasingly impacted by college closure and revocation of UKBA sponsors' license. And the last slide, just to recapitulate, the four elements of the framework in place at QA to safeguard the experience of international students. These are the UK Quality Code, which applies to all students studying for UK HE awards, wherever they are. International students studying in the UK, the guidance, which applies to onshore international students. The review of TNE, which applies to offshore students. And the consent scheme, which is available, again, to all students. With this, I conclude. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.